Welcome back to Unfiltered Faith Podcast with Meredith
and Stoss.
And today we have a very special guest, Janine. Also, okay, I was going to ask you before we started recording.
Amapola.
Yeah. Because sometimes I pronounce things weird and I didn't want to get it wrong. We are so excited. Janine is such a gem. She is such a gift from the Lord. So Janine just launched her podcast.
I did.
It's called Happy and Healthy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Happy and Healthy. It's on Spotify, on Apple. So go check it out. Head over there. But we wanted to just be kind of interactive and have you guys feel like you're just talking with us and having a chat on the couch. So before we just get into it, I'm just going to pray really quick. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for another day, another breath of life, and an opportunity to know you and grow closer to you. Thank you so much for Janine and just her being able to come and spend time with us today and record this podcast. We ask that this encourages and edifies our listeners, Lord, and we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're really excited to ask Janine some questions, and also Stoss and Janine have never met, so yeah, we're just gonna like talk
get
about
to know each
stuff.
Other
first, let's talk about how are we all doing mentally, physically, all of that.
Ooh. That's always an interesting question, because I feel like overall I'm always like, the Lord is good, like there's not really a reason to complain.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm like in the middle of this like 21 day fast right now, and I just feel like the Lord is just like pruning me. Like I got already people sending me prayers this morning that were like hitting it on the nail on the head or whatever that's called.
Yeah.
Just like me needing to heal from some past things, and I was like, oh my gosh. So
wow.
It's just like I feel like the Lord is like pruning me right now.
He's like molding and showing us what we need to work on, especially during this time of quarantine. It's like we have time to actually reflect on these things and sit in stillness and quietness and really take that time, because we're always busy and rushing and like jumping from one thing to the next. So it sounds like you're really cleansing out. Is it what kind of fast is it? Like food or social media? Or?
It's just like you pick kind of some certain things you want to fast from. So for me, I'm trying to limit some social media. I'm trying to like kind of work on like getting rid of certain foods as well. And then also like dealing with my past, just like past hurts from guys. And so I'm trying to work on like overall healing from that and like letting the Lord work into that.
Mm-hmm.
And so just for the next 21 days, you're being intentional about praying and journaling and just like really
That specific
clear.
Topic.
Yeah, like being super clear, like this is what I want God to live in for the next 21 days.
That's so good.
That's really good. Yeah. We did a social media fast that I did one for a week.
Yeah.
And it was really
social media at all.
Yeah, yeah, I deleted the Instagram app and I didn't go on it for a week.
It was like when first quarantine started.
Wow.
And then everything started to go down on social media, and then it was like boom.
I need
like,
to do that.
It's really refreshing. It kind of made me just see how almost reliant I was on other people's almost like not approval or like kind of approval, like just being on social media and seeing people like comment on your photo or whatever. It's like it shows you that you almost go to that as your source of validation and fulfillment when it should be coming from the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength and not anything else. So it just really highlighted that for me, and it was a good thing to do. But I think Stoss, you can talk a little bit about this, but we've been talking about how our social anxiety has really, like, I struggle with social anxiety, and you wouldn't think just by I can't, like, when I go in public, I start sweating, and I immediately just think that I'm being, this sounds weird, I'm being watched. I don't know, I read this funny TikTok that was like, social anxiety is having conspiracies about yourself. Like you think that
like
people like come up with,
and
I was like, that's weird. But I've realized that like for me to just lean into the Lord.
No, I feel the same way. I feel like my anxiety has gone through the roof, especially with the social media thing. It's like, if you're not posting one thing or if you're posting another, people will always judge that. And I always have that fear of like, what are people going to say or what's going to happen? Or I don't want to see people in public so they can confront me on this. And I have no shame in my faith, but it gets kind of like I'm sweating right now, because it's like talking about it is just like, oh, what are they going to think when I posted that, or what are they going to say? And at the end of the day, that shouldn't matter. It's God kind of teaching me that like you shouldn't fear other people. That's a spirit of fear and a spirit of what other people have to say about you. Because that forms into identity, and that forms into who are you in God, and not what other people think about you and say about you.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, what I've been learning is people will always judge you no matter what you're doing in life or posting or whatever. They can always assume one thing. And if you're struggling outside of social media, it's like they don't have to know that, and they can judge either way, but that's not their place to judge at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like we have to know that we're struggling on our own, and God is with us during the whole struggle, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like we can't conform to what everyone always has. And I struggle that big time, like, time. And I just been realizing, especially in quarantine, because I wasn't doing that well. So I was just like, wow, like, God's been revealing to me that, like, you are fearing way too much about what people think about you, and it's something you need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's something that's part of my prayer during the 21 days is, like, I mean, I'm just so scared of people's opinions. Yeah. Like, that one comment, yeah, like, I just go...
It derails my day. Sometimes it derails
me. And
it
replays in my mind over and over and over. That's why I was like, Lord, like, I need to be healed from this, because I'm taking over... I'm trying to get more man's approval than God's approval. And, like, overall, like, we should live for God's praise over human praise. But especially with, like, the climate of politics and just everything going on, it's like everyone feels entitled to give you their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like everyone's a social justice warrior, so everyone's, you know, giving you their opinion. And you're like, wait, you don't even know me. You're literally seeing, like, a second of my life. But it's like that one comment is the most, like, terrifying thing. And even though, like, it's just one person, but it's still like, oh my gosh, someone thinks that about me.
And I hate when people are like, well, stop caring what other people think, or stop letting that get to you. And you're like, but you don't get that. Like, you can't just be like, yeah, I can't just be like, you're right, let me just leave. You're right. Like, I'm fine. Thank you so much for curing my anxiety.
I'm healed.
Like, yeah. Like, no, it's just, it doesn't work that way. And I think it's kind of like a process that we have to, as community too, we can get through it together. And with God, I feel like we can progress in that. And it's not, I feel like a lot of people have that as well. And we want you to know you're not alone, and we're all struggling this together, but we'll get through it.
And another thing I like to think about, there's this verse that talks about, I think it's in Romans 12, but it talks about, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Mm-hmm. And as Christians, we're told, we're supposed to be set apart from the world and people that are of worldly things. And so for us, it's like as Christians, we're setting an example, and that's how we stand out, is because we're not conforming. We are going to be, we're going to probably have persecution because we're not supposed to conform to what everyone is saying and doing. And that's just the bottom line.
Yeah.
And that's just like the call of a Christian is like, we're going to be persecuted. Like Jesus told us, like,
it's not an easy,
but he says, blessed are those that are persecuted.
We're supposed to rejoice.
If you're not being persecuted, to me, I'm like, okay, then you're almost not doing something right, because then you are conforming. And it's not like we're like welcoming, hey, like nobody wants that.
No.
Like, always the overall message is like, love people and be kind, and yes, you can call them higher, but there's like a certain way you can do it. But like, if you look like everyone else, then to me, I'm like, you're doing something wrong.
That's exactly what I think.
It sounds harsh, but that's kind of the truth.
It's the truth of the gospel. And we, oh my gosh, have you seen American Gospel?
Oh yeah, I watched it during quarantine. I was shook.
We watched it together, and I was like, oh my gosh, so many of the pastors I've like listened to, I was like, all of my beliefs. And because I never really was, like, into the prosperity gospel, but I just listened to some people that were kind of regurgitating some of it to me. And so I was like, well, what is it then? Is it this or is it this? And then once I watched that, it was just like it all fell into place for me. But if you guys have time to watch it, go watch it. It's on YouTube. The types of messages that we need to hear are ones that actually convict us. And that's what the gospel is. It should even convict believers. We're supposed to feel uncomfortable and offended when we hear the actual gospel, not just have a watered-down gospel that's tickling ears and making you feel good. It's supposed to make you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Because the Holy Spirit will convict you inside. You're like, whoa, like, this is something that I need to work on, or this is something that I didn't even know I had that I need to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're called to love people, and obviously we love God, but at the end of the day, I feel like the wrath of God is coming too, and I get that conviction too, like, do not be lukewarm, like, you cannot, you know, half in, half out, and that's when it's like, okay, like, we're living for God, and we can't, like, tickle ears, or pastors are just want to fluff it out, but it's like, no.
Something my brother-in-law said the other day that I thought was pretty convicting, he was like, are we more concerned with people just getting COVID and, like, this fear-mongering thing, or are we more concerned about the souls of those people getting coronavirus?
Wow.
Like, how are we reaching those people that do have it? What about their faith? What about their salvation? Are we more concerned with that? Or are we more concerned with just, oh my gosh, they have coronavirus? It's like, okay,
well, yes, yeah.
We want everyone to be saved. And so it's like, what are we more concerned with?
Well, so that's why, speaking of the church I went to this past Sunday, I might cut this out, but so this church stayed open despite our California's governor's rules to shut down the church. And his, you know, thing was that church is essential, and that right now, yes, there's people dying, and actually the death rate of this is so low, but it's like, we should be concerned about where they're going to spend their eternity. Mm. Like, yes, like, if we're all so concerned about people dying, then why aren't we keeping, like, the fellowship of church? Like, that is essential. That is important, because mm-hmm. we care about their eternity. So,
and not even just that. Like, I was watching a sermon by this pastor, and he was saying that church for people is a source of hope. It gets rid of anxiety. It helps them with their depression. And, like, right now, depression, anxiety, fear, everything is, like, skyrocketing right now.
Oh.
And so he's like, a church is an essential because it's a part of a mental health for people.
Yeah.
It's part of their spiritual being. So it's like mind, body, soul. It's a huge aspect of the triangle that you're missing. And it's not like I'm trying to condone churches to be reckless and just be open. It's like, if you're abiding and you're being smart, hopefully. But a church is part of, you know, helping people with anxiety and depression, because suicide rates are, like, skyrocketing as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so a church is essential for that as well.
Yeah. Well, we're being targeted. Like, I know that without a doubt in my mind. Like, and it's probably only going to get worse. I'm not trying to be cynical. I'm just speaking from what I feel the Lord has been telling me. And I've been, ever since last summer when I really started walking with the Lord again, he's been just revealing so much to me. And I've just feel it in my spirit. And I'm not trying to, like, I'm not fear mongering. Like, mm-hmm. we live without fear. That's, it says it like 300 times in the Bible. But there's almost like a sense of preparedness that I think we need to have in our hearts for what could possibly be coming. And we just need to always, we need to be praying in the spirit. We need to be seeking the Lord. God ultimately is control. He's sovereign over everything, but he's allowing certain things to happen. And everything he does is for his will and his glory. And that will all be revealed when Jesus returns, which that's like a whole nother episode.
Yeah.
but it's, I think that we honestly do need to just be, we need to be prepared, and we need to not, we can't take this lightly, because there's a lot that's happening, and so much has changed just in a year. Like, if you think about
last
year. Within
these, like, 3 months, honestly.
It's really
every
crazy.
Every day, it's, like, changing. Like, every month, something new comes. I'm like, okay, what now is going to happen? Like,
yeah.
An earthquake? Wouldn't be surprised.
We really just need to be, like, we need to just be praying and just putting on the full armor of God every day. And it's really just, it's a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know, I wanted to talk about, so we have you experienced, like,
spiritual
warfare?
Oh,
like,
100%.
Is there, okay. So, like, 100%. what's something that you've experienced or dealt with?
Oh my gosh.
Cause I've never
talked
to
about it. I've never,
I know. I was like, I want to know, like,
I've never even said this on my YouTube channel. And when I was, married to my ex,
wait, you were married?
Wait.
Why did I not know?
You didn't know about this?
Wait, why did I not think? I didn't
really?
Think you
okay,
ever
that's
were
a whole
married.
Other episode. Yeah, we'll get into that later.
Okay. Why did I not know that?
I don't tell a lot of people because it's just, like, such a deep part of my testimony. But
okay.
Something that God.
How old are you?
Totally. I'm 26.
Okay.
I was 22 when it happened. So that's a little fun fact. I'll get into that maybe in another episode. But when I was in that relationship, I so knew that the Lord did not want me in that. I knew that there was weird spiritual things on him that were, like, I could just
Was he Christian?
Quote unquote Christian.
Oh,
like,
got
he
it.
Was, and then something flipped. I don't know what happened. So as we're married, I literally, like, there was one night we were together, like, he was in the living room, I was in my bedroom, and I could literally see black figures flying around my room. And I couldn't breathe. And I was like, oh my gosh, something is wrong. And I, like, told him, I was like, something is wrong. And then I literally could feel, like, this tearing. It was like light versus darkness. I could feel this tearing in my chest, like this tug, and I couldn't breathe. And I was, like, suffocating. And I remember he came up to me and he's like, say Jesus, which was funny because he was the reason why, like, he was the door opened into my life of that.
Like, he brought
that
spirit.
But he knew what
spirit?
To say, because that's what I do. I always call
right.
out on the name
so
of Jesus.
You're supposed to say, like, Jesus.
That's
so
when
I'm, like, trying to call Jesus' name out. I couldn't call his name out. The
it's,
most terrifying thing I've ever been through in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally, like, get them shaken off, and I'm like, I feel free. And I'm like, that was the weirdest thing. But I knew it was because of my ex. Like, I knew for a fact it was, because right when we split, it was like all my peace had returned. But when I was with him, all this anxiety, fear, depression, confusion. So, like, that's why I...
Like, the spirits, like, followed him, then
yeah,
it followed you in a way.
Yeah, he had opened the doors to so many things in his life.
Oh, wow.
And I was always very guarded, because I've always grown up to know, like, don't open those doors, yeah. don't even entertain mm-hmm. it. And so that was when I literally felt like the spiritual warfare, and wow. it is so real. Mm-hmm. Not to scare you guys, but that's again with like why you have to be so prepared, armor of God, be aware of it, and just know like you have to be careful like what doors you're opening mm-hmm. in your life.
Oh my gosh, that
that's
is...
That's crazy.
I had no idea. Thank you for sharing that. And if you want to set it out,
I don't,
we can.
I don't know.
Yeah. That is... I've experienced the... Did I tell you about when I would be sleeping at night and I would feel this, like,
yeah,
dark, ominous presence?
Oh my gosh.
And it felt like... Well, the second... It's only happened twice, but the second time it happened, I was being physically shaken. Like, I wasn't moving,
was
but it felt like...
Was it the sleep paralysis?
Yes. I've literally...
I've had that before,
but it's
too.
Like a demonic force... And I don't know what it was feeding off of, and I haven't had it since. Thank you, Lord. But I knew immediately. I was like, okay, I tried to say Jesus, and I couldn't. Like, I couldn't say anything for, like, 30 seconds. It felt like 2 minutes. And then I said Jesus, and it went away. But I was like, I literally can't believe. And then I looked it up because I'm like, I don't even know what this is.
Yeah, and the only reason why I knew about that was because I'm pretty sure, like, 4 years ago, I was hanging out with Ava Katowski, and she was like, I think it was, like, her, some YouTuber was like, have you ever had sleep paralysis? And I was like, what's that?
It's like when and you're awake, but you know
you
you're
can't
asleep.
You can't move.
You can't do anything. So
oh,
I was
wow.
like, what is that? And she told me everything. That night, I get
oh,
sleep
no.
paralysis. Like, I kid
that's
you
some spirit.
Freaking not. That oh. that night. And I was like, this is so scary and real. And same thing. The most terrifying. You're lying there. You can't move. And I was like, oh, my gosh, Jesus. Like, trying to get Jesus to come back. And obviously, like, when you say Jesus, they have to leave. Like, we have power and dominion over them. But that night it happened, I was like, gosh, this is so freaky. Like, if you open
that
the door...
That must have been a long time ago.
It was a long time ago, yeah. It was. I think it was like 4 or 5, maybe
wow.
even longer at this point. Yeah. Crazy.
No, but yeah. It what's so cool is, like, there's a... I think it's in Luke. It says, we have power... What is it? There's this verse... we have the power to tread on scorpions and serpents.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love... I literally say that verse, too, sometimes when I feel, like, afraid. Or if I'm walking alone at night, I'm just like...
Yeah.
No one can touch me. No
and
one
like
can
the no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Oh yeah,
like,
that's
that
a good
my
one.
Favorite. I'm like yes, like
I that's
sword.
That's a good one. That's a good
it's
one.
It's a good one.
And it's crazy too how I feel like we don't even realize, even with media, like you can open the door of like spiritual things. We were talking about this today with like scary
music,
movies and
videos,
stuff and music.
There's so much
like power
like
in what
lust,
you watch.
Like sex
yes.
movies, like
oh.
I mean girls' bodies, anything.
Wait. Okay, so when I was very like in the world and just didn't really realize the effect that had on me, it didn't bother me. But
mm-hmm.
now that I like I think
you
I'm
put two and
I'm,
two, you're like
now
wow.
that it bothers my spirit. Like I literally
yeah.
can't watch it. I'm like watching it, like
I feel
a sex
the same
scene
way.
And
I
I'm
feel
like
sick.
Ugh.
I'm like,
yeah.
oh whoa.
I completely
like,
agree.
It just like
that's what the gospel is meant to do. It's meant to convict you and make you feel that disturbance in
yeah.
your spirit where you're like,
yeah.
this feels wrong and I just know it's wrong.
Yeah.
yeah.
Pursue that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow, guys.
That's crazy. We're getting into
Jesus.
These.
Okay, what else can we talk about?
Dating.
Oh,
no, yeah, we
geez.
Should update them on that.
Do you guys have updates? Oh, God, that was
wait,
a
wait,
deep
wait,
side.
Wait, 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 wait. Oh,
deep side.
Right, so
oh, yeah.
Okay, so, wait. Let me think how I want to couch this. Okay, so, you guys, and this is Meredith, by the way. In our past episodes, we talked about just past relationships with guys, and you guys know I've never actually been in, like, a real relationship, but I dated, like, this one guy 2 years ago, and I thought that I had completely, like, forgiven him in my heart. I thought I was, like, healed and just really over it, but I saw him on the beach, like, a couple nights ago with my
oh
mom.
My
I was
gosh.
Walking, and I saw him, and I pretended that I didn't see him. Because I didn't think he saw me, so I was just like, I'm just going to try
yeah.
to walk. I literally said
like,
to my
swear.
Mom, and he goes, hey, guys. And I literally, I, like, couldn't look at, I saw his face. I couldn't look him in the eye. I kept walking, and I just go, hi. I keep walking.
You're like,
and my mom is like, are you okay? Like, what is going on? And I prayed about it, and I was thinking about it. I'm like, have I, like, really... gotten have I forgiven him completely, like what's going on in my heart, because I was like, Lord, reveal to me, like, what is going on? Is there something I need to work on? And I just had just some revelations that I don't want to get too into it, but I just kind of realized that I wasn't really, I know I'd forgiven him, but I think just seeing him almost triggered something in me. And so I just prayed about it, and I actually came to the conclusion that I may cut this out, I came to the conclusion that I was he emotionally abused and manipulated me. Wow. And I don't even know if I want to go into this. I kind of do because I honestly feel like so many girls have gone through this.
So many.
Like, okay, I'm just going to say it. This person is a good person and they didn't, I don't think they meant to hurt me, but they, how did I say it to you that made so much sense? I said that he, so I put up boundaries with this guy that I was dating, and when I told him what my boundary was,
he was already like planning the future with you and manipulating you
he love bombed me, which is when people like show so much affection before you're like really in a relationship. Yeah. And then, he manipulated my boundary by saying, okay, well then let's just date. If you're not willing to do this before you're in a relationship, why don't we just start dating? And then the moment I said yes, I used that as like an excuse to just do go past that boundary. And it just showed that he didn't respect that boundary. And I felt so bad after I did what I did that I was like, I couldn't even look him in the eye. That's why I couldn't look at him. Cause I like was so hurt by that. And it triggered like this just kind of like feeling of, not like anger, but just almost like, I don't even know, bitterness. I don't know. I just feel, even though I'm like,
some emotion.
Resentment.
Yeah, I guess.
It's so important to talk about that because the amount of girls that have gone through that, like that's the thing is when you're in the moment, you have no idea that's happening.
That it's like emotional.
Because you're just like, I like him. Like, you know, if he really says he cares about me, like he says he does, then
he wouldn't
do that. Or like he really does care about me because he's told me. And I think that's where we like have to guard our hearts 10 times more because we're believing what they're saying. And it's like, no, no, no. Let's look at the actions.
Facts over feelings.
Yes, ma'am.
And the heart is deceitful above all else. Yes. That's a really important thing that I think we don't like think about a lot.
The accountability is so important. Yeah. Like have each other. Yeah. Like, hey, what do you think about this?
Yeah.
Should I do this?
Because our flesh is just like, oh, but I want the attention or I want like just to, you know, have that fling. But you, deep down, you're like, I know that this person isn't for me and I can't just be with that guy just because I'm lonely in this season. Yeah. And you know deep down they're not the right guy.
Yeah. So I just made a TikTok about this like on the way over here about like trusting your gut because like 99.9% of the time, like as females, like our womanly intuition knows.
Always right.
Yeah.
You freaking know whether you want to admit it or not. Your body and your spirit knows. So I, like to me going forward, I'm like, I forever am going to trust my gut.
Yeah.
Because you probably knew he was maybe danger.
I knew deep down. And I had so many previous experiences with him where I would leave his apartment like in tears. I would go in an Uber and I was sad. I was like crying. I was like, why am I, what's going on? And I knew it was the Holy Spirit at that time, like being like I knew God was like, don't like ever go back there. Like, I don't want you around him.
Wow.
But he seemed like such a nice guy, but I just didn't know because I was treated so poorly in the past that this seemed like such an upgrade, but I didn't even realize that he was still not respecting me in that
girls
sense.
Girls will always run back to what's familiar. So that was like the treatment was familiar to you that it seemed comfortable because you're like, this is all
that's
I know.
So good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? And I mean, that's why a lot of girls just repeat the same
and girls
cycle.
Like, he loves me, but it's like, they don't realize that.
Been there, done
that. That it's
the worst.
Yeah, it's emotional abuse and it's not okay.
Nope.
Are you dating anyone? No, wait. I saw your Instagram story. You said you're single.
I'm single, but I am going on a date on Thursday.
Hey!
With who? I'll cut this out.
He's cute.
That's awesome. We love to see it.
I know, and I'm kind of like,
what are you guys doing? Do you know, or is he surprising
you? He's surprising me. He called my best friend Sarah, and he was like, okay, what kind of wine does she like? Like, found out all the information, but I don't know anything.
We love effort.
We love that.
All I know is there's Josh wine involved. That's all I know.
Ooh.
So I'm excited. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Wait, are you a wine girl? I thought you were a tequila girl.
I love tequila and wine, but
we need to talk about alcohol because
I prefer tequila. Okay. But then it's, like, dangerous. It's very dangerous.
It's so dangerous. The other, a week ago, I went to a family friend's house in around this area, and I told myself, I'm like, I'm not going to have anything to drink. And then because my social anxiety, I know that drinking makes me looser. It makes me more comfortable.
Same.
I knew. I was like, I'm just going to drink. I want to let loose. So I had one margarita, and because I'm such a lightweight, I got, like, I didn't act drunk. Apparently my parents were like, you seemed fine. Like you weren't drunk at all. But inside I knew I was like,
you were feeling it. You were feeling good.
I was so different. And I was like, I know I'm abusing it because I did it because I was using it as a coping mechanism.
Mm.
So
yeah, I've done that too.
It's hard. It really is. Yeah. But I'm like,
especially when it tastes so good and you're like with your good friends and you're like, oh, I'm in a safe space. And like, you're just having fun, and then, like,
but you'll make some poor decisions. I've made some very, very bad decisions.
Retweet, sister. Retweet.
You're nothing compared to what I've done.
Oh, no, no, that's so not true.
Really?
I can guarantee I've done some stupid stuff. The Lord redeem with me. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, working on merch, and then, yeah, I have this community called the Abide Tribe, which is just for girls to find community in their cities, but also just online, especially with COVID. It's like, you can't find friends right now, so this is, like, your way of, like, virtually finding friends, and
that's awesome.
So many girls have been, like, set free from things during it. Like, it's been really, really cool. Like, girls have gone in there and been so bold, and they've been like, hey, I'm struggling with pornography. I'm struggling with masturbation. Dude. And it's like...
We've talked about this.
Yeah.
About pornography?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Oh, y'all done a whole episode on that?
No, we want to.
Y'all should.
Yeah.
And you should bring Riley on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what we want to do.
But yeah, so that's what I've been working on. Just buy
awesome.
Chart and
fun.
Merch and then
we
just launch the podcast.
We love it.
That's amazing.
Well, that is it for this episode. Thank you so much, Janine, for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening, guys, and we will talk to you in our next episode.
Bye. Bye.
And really watch what I say and what I think. There's a verse in Proverbs. It's Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So I've realized that a lot of what I say, if I'm saying something negative, then I'm going to start... that's going to start seeping into my life, and it's just going to feed on that negativity. So the more I'm positive and the more I'm speaking life into things, that's going to show in my life and be the fruit.